Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you, no slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today's readings are about two great surprises. First, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see how Paul and Silas were traveling to spread the faith. They wanted to go into the area around Ephesus, called Asia, in the provinces there in what we would now call Turkey. But it says the Holy Spirit prevented them. And then after, they wanted to go to Bithynia, which is up in the north of modern-day Turkey, to the east of Istanbul. But the Holy Spirit prevented them as well. Sometimes we can get the sense that if we're following God, if we're zealously trying to spread the faith, if we're trying to love our neighbor, that God is just going to bless and almost turn to gold everything we touch. They were obviously with fire trying to bring the gospel to places that hadn't yet had it, especially Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit, in response to that offer and that generosity, said, "No." We know the reason why. Because as the Holy Spirit was padlocking those doors, He was opening up the entire door to a new continent, the continent of Europe, as the disciples already made would have the duties to be able to bring the gospel to what would become the seven churches, as well as to the northern parts of Turkey and beyond. Paul, in a dream, received that message, "Come to Macedonia." And they got on a boat and they crossed, and a new stage of the gospel happened. We need constantly to be open to these surprises. When we want to do something for the Lord, it is really hard sometimes when the Lord says no. It might make no sense whatsoever at first that we get doors slammed in our face, especially by God or the church. But God's always making another aperture, and we just have to be attentive to that, even if we have to wait a while. You know, I remember when I was 22 years old, when with a great deal of zeal and a lot of preparation, I was applying to be a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Boston. I had worked in a rectory for 5 years. I had pastors with 75 years of experience as pastors in the Archdiocese write me great letters of recommendation. Cardinal Law had personally been promoting my vocation for 8 years. But I couldn't even get an application because of some problems in the Archdiocese of Boston, which would eventually come out in the clergy sex abuse scandals. But it didn't make sense. At a subjective level, the Lord had tipped me off that it would happen, so I was very joyful, actually, when it occurred. But in an objective level, I was outraged. How could this refusal happen to a young guy who just wanted to serve God? But that closed door opened up a door in the Diocese of Fall River, which opened up the door for me to eventually go to Rome and get a much greater priestly formation that would serve me and help me to serve others, I think, better. There were other closed doors. I had been asked throughout my early years as a priest to help out in many situations, including seminaries, which would have always been a great love for me to go and train future priests. But the answer was always no. And then, when I was asked to be a roving new evangelist by Archbishop Chaput, when he was out in Denver saying that the church in the U.S. needed to have greater services, more barons, etc., my bishop not only said no to that, but he gave me a dead parish at the time that should have been closed. There were some faithful people there, but when you speak nine languages and you go to a place where you only need one, like, it was a big surprise. But if I hadn't had that assignment with a lot of time on my hands, I would have never been able to take on any Renum Christi members as spiritual erectees, and my life wouldn't have been enriched as much as it has been since then. Likewise, if any of those other assignments had happened, I would have never been free, actually, to have been asked to go serve the Church of the United Nations and the various apostolates there. I'm sure each of us could add stuff here, that the no's opened up other pathways. And we say, our ways are not God's ways, but blessed the ways of the Lord. That's the first great surprise. We always have to be ready for how the Holy Spirit both impels us apostolically in certain directions, but then prunes us from some of the directions that we would think, even according to prudence, would be the ways to go. The second surprise is perhaps greater. You know where we've been in the Gospel, in the 15th chapter of St. John this week, got the parable of the vine and the branches, how we have an ontological communion with the Lord Jesus, and his life is in us. He wanted us to have that type of covenantal bond. And then he goes and he says incredible things about his love. Just as the Father loves me, I love you. Remain in my love. You'll remain in my love if you keep my commandment. My commandment is this: love one another as I have loved you. I've revealed everything I've heard to you from my Father, because you're my friends, not my servants. I've told you this so that your joy may be complete. I want you to be fruitful, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will hear, because we will be praying together as vine and branches. After all of that, some of the most consoling words in Scripture, and I think the most important words of all time, Jesus says, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. He goes from these beautiful words on love immediately to hatred. I have chosen you out of the world, and the world hates you. They're going to persecute you, and they're going to do all of these things to you on account of my name. And it seems like a zag. It's not. The Holy Spirit, who inspired St. John to remember exactly what he put in the first half of this chapter, likewise inspired him to remember what Jesus said in the second half of what's now the 15th chapter. And this love and this hatred are not contradictions, but they're connected. Why? Because the way the Father will prune us is through suffering. The way that his love is going to be revealed to us even more profoundly through the difficulties we have to endure. The way that we'll have a chance to learn how to love others as he has loved us first is by being in situations in which others have made themselves our enemies, so that we can love our enemies just like he loved his and prayed for his persecutors and did good to those who did evil to him. And in all of this, this would be a special way to bear fruit. In the early church, as we know, there were two ways the world was converted. First way was the testimony of real Christian love, that at a time when, if you were not the firstborn male in the family, you received nothing, such that all the other siblings needed to beg their eldest brother for at least a small slice of the inheritance. Christians were selling all their property, laying the proceeds at the feet of the apostle to be distributed to their new family members by baptism, whoever needed it. That type of love the world had never seen, that type of sacrifice. And people were busting down the doors of the house churches to get in. But the second way was through martyrdom. The witness of so many who, as they were being slated to die and even be tortured prior to their end, were singing hymns of thanksgiving to God, were forgiving their enemies, were loving to the extreme. Even brutal Roman soldiers seeing that, with hardened hearts habituated to just slaying people, were converted. Because the love of the Christians shone all the more in those times of persecution. And that's why the Holy Spirit permits those contexts, so that we can show Christ's love for us, our love for Him, and together with Him, our joint love for others is real. So we shouldn't be surprised that the same Lord who loves us fully and came so that His joy might be in us and our joy might be perfected will at the same time allow us to exist in circumstances where others will hate us. And not just fire-breathing secularists. Sometimes we might even experience that animosity up close from people who don't understand us. But the vine grower is pruning us in those circumstances so that we can love all the more perfectly. Today on Saturday, as we remember the Blessed Mother, we think about the apparent contradictions in her life, which were always part of God's love for her and the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. When she heard those incredible words in Nazareth, "He will be great and will be given the throne of David his father, and his kingdom will have no end," how much of a shock it would have been when Simeon said, "He will be a sign of contradiction for the ruin and the resurrection of many in Israel. In your own heart a sword shall pierce." When she saw her son, whom she used to bathed in blood on Calvary, it seemed so contrary to what she had been promised. But it wasn't. God with us was still with us. Yahweh, Jesus, God saves, was still saving. But the means God was choosing to fulfill what had been promised were not able to be seen ahead of time. And so we learn from her a very important lesson. God's ends we can trust in with all our heart, but we shouldn't necessarily trust in what we think are going to be the roads to those destinations. His path may be different, but He will show us that path of life and love. And Mary is praying that we will continue to follow her son in the joint pilgrimage of the church to a place in which we don't have a Macedonian saying, "Come on over," but we have Jesus saying, "I have prepared a place for you." These words, these shocking words that He gave us, He gave during the first Mass. After He had said, "I love you just as the Father loves me and live in my love," He said that the world would hate, and it would just take hours for the apostles to recognize just what form that persecution would take. But in the midst of it all, what we witness on the crucifix is not a defeat, but the greatest victory of all time. Today at this Mass, we enter into that triumph. Praise be Jesus Christ.